Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela.
And I'm Jen. And in today's episode, we are chatting all about thrifting, but not just any kind of thrifting. I want to talk about thrifting for ourselves. I know this is a crazy concept, right?
It really is. As resellers, we always think about thrifting to sell, right? But being a reseller has really changed the way both Jen and myself shop. So we thought, why not chat about all the brands that we pick up secondhand that aren't necessarily great for reselling?
So we're all about the hunt, right? Finding great brands. But what we want to really talk about is secondhand finds that you normally might pass on, why we like them, and for which categories.
All right, guys, this is going to be a juicy episode, lots of content. So we will see you at the table. This is fun because we like shopping.
We do love to shop. We should start with that we definitely are shoppers. Before reselling or anything else, I always loved shopping. I always loved fashion too. Yeah. And I know you are the same.
I also love grocery shopping. I'm a weirdo. Like, the grocery store is relaxing to me. I just like the act of the transaction.
I mean, I can see that. Like, I like to go into the grocery store, pop my like podcast in and just like go through the aisles and everything. I don't know. It's very therapeutic. There really is truly a thing when it comes to retail therapy, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And my favorite grocery store, they have two favorite grocery stores to do this in: Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. My favorite.
Yes.
Whole Foods, 3 hours, easy. Up and down the vitamin aisle, into the beauty section, right? There's just so much to look at.
And then when you go to like, the warm food section, you're like, I want to eat everything.
I know. And then the bakery. There's so many great things about grocery stores. I don't know why you guys don't like it. It's very, very relaxing.
I do. I like grocery stores. The only thing I don't like about grocery stores is the act of like putting the stuff in my cart,
putting it on the conveyor belt,
put it back in the cart, take it out of the cart, to put it back in the cart, to go home.
I know. There's a lot of steps, but it is a relaxing adventure for me. Yeah. I want to say before we get into the episode that before reselling, I personally didn't ever thrift. That was not something that I did. I was a discount shopper, but not a thrifter, where Jen, on the other hand, was always a thrifter. So we have two different perspectives on this.
We definitely do. Discount shopper, 100%, always. I think it, I always liked fashion, but I didn't have the money, right, to buy what I wanted to buy. So always, everything always had to be discounted, or I had to figure out a way on how to get what I wanted, either at a discounted price or in a thrift store. And I would make it sometimes too. That was also a big thing too. So yes, I've always been into thrifting. I remember being a small kid and going into Goodwills and finding really cool pieces and, stitching them up and trying different things. And even in the toy section, being a kid and looking at the toys. So thrifting has always been a part of my life.
Do you think there's a difference between East Coast and West Coast? Like, even going back in time, do you think that on the West Coast, thrifting has just been something that's been a little more normalized, maybe because of the culture that's out there and how expensive everything is? We're here on the East Coast. I feel like the outlets and stuff are a little more normalized than, well, go back, to that time period. I think now thrift stores are almost as normalized as outlet stores. But previously, I'd say outlets here were kind of like the big thing.
I think that thrift stores, it's just been more normal to shop at thrift stores. And it was just more popular out here a lot sooner than it was on the East Coast. I know a lot of people went to the thrift stores for finding those cool vintage pieces, things that were discarded. It wasn't necessarily for reselling, or maybe it was, and I just didn't know.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, a lot of it was just like, you have kids and clothes is expensive and you just need to get some stuff, some new things for the new school year, or, you really want to find some cool vintage pieces that like you were super into, and vintage wasn't a big thing back then, but I know a lot of people in California, it has been very popular for a very long time. Outlet shopping has also been very popular too out here, I would say, but I did see a big difference when I came from the West Coast to the East Coast. I remember when I first started reselling out in Massachusetts, I feel like no one ever went to Savers. No one ever did anything. And it was a little bit of a stigma towards it, which was something that I definitely did not feel out in California. I think there was a bit of a stigma maybe back when I was a younger child. Yeah. Yes, there was. But I remember everybody shopping at the thrift stores, particularly around Halloween.
Oh, Halloween was like, you know, Savers was the place to go for Halloween.
Yeah.
And I started going to Savers when I was a teacher in preschool because I needed books and I needed like random toys or random things that I couldn't go to Lakeshore Learning and spend. I mean, I was like 23, 24, like I'm young. I can't spend $100 on a toy for my classroom. So I'd go to Savers.
Yeah. But to be honest with you, for me, thrifting when I was younger, it wasn't like I was going there to pick out a new wardrobe, if that makes sense, or like look for stuff for myself. Like I was there looking like I remember in like junior high, like Adidas was really, really popular. And I knew it wasn't at the discount stores. So I would go to the thrift store specifically looking for Adidas stuff, you know, so that like I could find and I could be cool, you know, with the cool kids and wear Adidas. And I remember I found an Adidas track jacket and I was so excited. I remember it was on the mannequin. I saw it. I asked my mom to please stop at the store, you know, and we went in and I bought it and it was like a men's extra large. And I was like,
who cares? You
know, like a 60-pound, like scrawny little kid. It was like, I don't care. I want it, you know? And I felt so cool that I had the jacket that everybody wanted, but those jackets were so expensive. So it was more for like the treasure hunt, I would have to say, not necessarily for me to go and buy everything in my wardrobe. But I don't know. I never felt like it was anything bad. I loved shopping at the thrift store, but there was definitely a stigma around it, I think, for a long time. Yeah. It wasn't popular, right?
Yeah, I'd say over the last 3 years or so, three, maybe 4 years, it's become definitely right now, present day, it's more normal.
It's very popular right. shop there. I will say that the people that go there in the last
different.
In Massachusetts, yes. And in California, the same thing too. But the people that are there, it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
So different, right?
Mm-hmm. I would say even like 2 years ago, pre-craziness of the world, it was mostly resellers, elderly people going in or like families going in trying to get different things for, you know, the kids that they have and whatnot. And then since 2020 to now it's just anyone and everyone is going in there, and it's always busy and you can't really pinpoint who's doing what now. Like it was a little bit easier to spot a reseller. It's not as easy now.
No, I would agree with you on that. Lots of times I see so many kids there. When I mean kids, I mean like Xennials, you know, that are there and they're picking up the most outrageous stuff. I think
I don't understand it. Half of it's destroyed, broken, and dirty. What are you doing?
They're all about it though. And I'm like, oh, they're not a reseller, you know, or something. But yeah, it is true. Like you don't know who's in the thrift stores anymore. It's just an eclectic group of people now.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. You know, I'm really glad that like thrifting is no longer seen as like something that only poor people do. Like it's stupid. It's a stupid concept. It absolutely
but that was the stigma.
But that was the stigma. Let's be honest. That's what it
and
was.
And it still is, because if you watch all those like TikToks and reels and whatever, I don't watch any of them, but from what I hear in the community is that Gen Zers are saying that resellers take away from the poor. Well, no, that's not, first of all, it's not the case at all. Mm-hmm. And second of all, everyone's shopping there now. So in theory, you're taking away from the poor too, then, aren't you, Gen Z? Because you're buying things in surplus for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you're
looking for the same brands that I'm looking for.
Oh my gosh. That's so
anyway,
funny.
Side note before we get into the episode, two things. One, thank you to everyone who listened to the last episode where we, what did we talk about in the last episode? Oh my God, my brain. Oh my God. What did we talk about in the last episode? Guys, this is bad. It's Friday though. So
Friday. And even I can't remember.
Never have I ever. Like, wow.
I remembered it for a second and I was like, oh, I know what it is. And then I'm like, no, I don't.
Thank you to everyone who listened. Never have I ever. So many of you guys reached out and were so happy about the episode. You were agreeing with different things that we said, or you felt like you could resonate with some of the things that we talked about. So I'm glad you guys really liked that episode. Secondly, I was at the thrift store today and every Gen Z girl that was in there, because it's warm out. It's like it's in the 70s in the last few days and it's nice out. Every single one had the bras, the bralettes, and the corset tops with the bellies out. Like, the bralettes were see-through, guys. So, you know, we talked about in the spring trends how, like, bras were going to be a thing. Oh, no, they were a thing. I saw it in real life.
They're definitely a thing.
It's crazy. I don't like it.
Oh, I don't either. I don't either.
Like it at all.
But we know. No, we know how we feel. That. We know how we feel about a lot of this. This type of fashion, right?
I just wanted to say I saw it out in the wild. It's a real thing. Kids are really doing it. They're wearing bras.
That just blows my mind. That absolutely blows my mind.
Right. Back to the episode.
Back to the episode. So our personal love. So really our personal love for like secondhand shopping. But then like once I moved to California and I got older too, I kind of learned about consignment stores. I didn't know about consignment stores really. I always, when I was growing up, consignment stores to me were like rich ladies donated all of their stuff. And I was like, they were like, to me, I considered them like older rich ladies. So it really wasn't something that I would be into to shopping for myself, right. If that makes sense.
Right.
So yeah, like, and there was quite a few of thrift stores. I think that used to be them, not thrift stores, consignment stores. That used to be the case. But then, you know, I kind of started popping into a few here and there and started finding some cool brands that I'm like, oh, wow, you know, I could actually get some things that I want. And I remember I had, there's a couple of thrift stores here. Sorry. I keep saying thrift stores, consignment stores that, it's called Double Take. There was one in Carlsbad. There was one in Encinitas and in Solana Beach, if you're from the area. So you guys can know. But my favorite one is in Solana Beach. And I remember I used to go there and that's where I would get like my designer handbags, you know, because I wanted them. I wanted like Marc Jacobs. I wanted all that stuff. And, you know, my Fry boots, all these things. And I got them all there at consignment. And so that was how I evolved from thrift stores. And then I started going to consignment stores and getting all those fancier pieces, right, that I really wanted, but I couldn't afford to get them new, or nor did I want to, honestly. I think that, and I'm sure you feel the same way, Daniela. Even as I've gotten older and I have more means to get things that I want, it's very hard for me to justify to spend X amount of dollars on certain amount of things, just because like, I wasn't really raised that way, I guess, to be spending, you know, $300-$400 on a handbag. Yeah. Like it's just, it's hard for me even today to do that. I don't think I can. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to do that, to be honest with you.
There's a lot of factors, right? So like the first factor is, I think being a reseller takes that allure out of buying things retail price big time, because of the things that we find that may not necessarily be in our size, but the brands that we find to resell. So seeing those price points makes it really hard to pay retail for certain things. Mm-hmm. I also think it depends on the type of piece that you're investing in. So I think if you're at a consignment store, okay, let's just say you're at a consignment store and there is a Chanel boy bag there and it's, I don't know, $800 instead of $5,000, right?
Right, right.
At that point, as difficult as it's going to be, if you have the means to do this, right? As difficult as it is to pay $800 for that bag, you know the value of that bag. And you know that it can retail and resale for upwards of $5,000. Would you do it? Would you spend the $800 on it? Obviously, think about it and go back and forth on it, hold it in your hand and be like, is it really worth to spend $800 on? If you had the $800 and it was like play money to you, obviously that's not, we don't have $800, it's play money. But if we did, would you do it?
Right. Right.
I would.
Honestly, like I couldn't give you an answer. Honestly couldn't.
I would, but it would take a lot in me to do. Like I would probably be in that store for 3 or 4 hours before I actually made the decision of, yes, I'm going to do it. Like that's, and maybe at that point I shouldn't get it kind of thing.
No. And you know,
I think it depends on the piece. I really do. I think it depends on the piece.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. I mean, I think it does depend on the piece. But you're right. It's just something that's like an internal struggle, right? Mm-hmm. That you have, because you're just like you even if you knew it was a good deal and everything, it's not like right away you just like plop the credit card down.
No,
right?
Unless I was a millionaire, well then that'd be a different story. What's $800 to a millionaire? Nothing. It's pocket change, right? I'm not a millionaire.
But this actually
I'm a state employee.
This actually brings up a really good point about like thrifting, right? It's sell for yourself and just how reselling has changed your outlook, right? On clothing, Bags, because like we said, I think it was more like every so often I would dip into a thrift store. Every so often I'd dip into a consignment store and get this or see what they had. It wasn't like I was actively hunting or looking.
Right.
I mostly bought most of my stuff, I would say, like TJ Maxx, Marshall's, Ross's, mm-hmm. Target, you know, just getting all my stuff there at discount stores, like you had said,
right.
you know, but I definitely liked other brands that mm-hmm. were out there. I liked Anthropology. I liked Madewell. I liked all those things, but I never shopped there because
no.
I could not justify, again, spending.
You say Anthropology, right? And I like, I mm-hmm. spent retail on Anthropology. Well, last night, but before last night, a month or two ago, I was in Anthropology, and that's like the worst thing you can ever do to yourself. Like going into an Anthropology store, because you want everything. There's just their clothing, it's just amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a shirt that I really loved, and it's super colorful, and it was perfect shirt for work. And I didn't even look at the price, I just bought it. I don't ever do that. But like, I was like, I want this shirt. Like, this is mm-hmm. something that I need in my wardrobe, and I paid retail price. And then I got home and I literally contemplated getting back in the car and returning it literally yeah. within 5 minutes of me getting home, because I couldn't believe I spent $110 on a button-up blouse that I've yeah. worn, I'm not kidding, probably over 25 times in the time that I bought it. But I spent $110 on that.
Yeah,
that's just unfathomable.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But that's what I mean, like, it's so hard. I think like one of the bad things that has happened with me with reselling is that, like, I already went in with like this preconceived notion of how much I was going to spend on for myself anyways,
right.
you know, $125 for a shirt. Absolutely not. Like, that was never the case. However, what has happened with me that's been bad about reselling is that I have champagne taste on a beer budget. 100%. 100%. Because now what happens is I don't want to shop at the discount stores anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get like the Target and the Walmart stuff. Like, I want the Madewell jeans, and I want the Everlane stuff, and I want, you know, like you said, mm-hmm. the Anthropology things. And that's probably one of the bad things that came out of reselling for me.
100%.
Is that I've become such a clothing snob.
I was going to say, I'm such a snob now.
Such a clothing snob. Yeah. Do you ever like look at people's like jeans sometimes and you're like, oh, those are fun.
You got that at Walmart. Not that I should talk, because I have clothes from Walmart too. Like- But like, it's true. And I think that here's the pros and cons of reselling and then trying to buy things for yourself. Great to find these different brands to sell and make money on, because you know that you can make a great profit on it. Awful when you find it in your size, and now you're collecting all these pieces in your own wardrobe. And now when these pieces are like, you're kind of over them and you sell them or donate them, whatever it is, now you got to replenish by those same brands that you had in there, because nothing else going to suffice.
Mm-mm. That's the problem. Like, you find that one dress from Anthropology
and it's beautiful. You know,
something amazing, and it's gorgeous, and you get tons of compliments when you wear it, and it fits really great, and you look great in it, you photograph in it, and then you're like, all right, it's time to get rid of it, but I want a new Anthropology dress. You're like, oh, for like $150 to $200, $168,
bought one last night, but oh my god, is it pretty. So pretty. Find me another dress that looks like that for less than $168. You're not going to find one, because every other brand that makes a dress similar to what I bought is like 200 plus.
Yep. Yeah. And then you'll try on, like, you know, the knockoffs, not the knockoffs, but the inspired by, right? The yeah. stuff that like Target like will
Target,
do, right?
Half we of know? My wardrobe,
just,
Target.
Like, it's just not the same. It's just no. not the same. Nope. It's not. It's not. I don't care
and
what
it's
you
not
say.
Made the same, and it doesn't fit the same. So here's my problem with Target clothing. I don't care what size they put on there. Okay. It never fits the same way as Madewell, for example, because a lot of the things that they are inspired by is Madewell, especially the Universal
Threads is 100%
that's Madewell. There's no yeah. way around that. They're extra large, extra, extra large. I don't care. It doesn't fit the same way as a Madewell extra large fits. It just doesn't. It's a different construction. It's never going to be the same. But when I want a certain piece that's on Madewell's website and I don't want to spend the $78, whatever it is, I turn to Target.
Yeah. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. usually in the thrift store over getting it in the retail store, but sometimes the retail store is cheaper than the thrift store for a Target, which is mind-boggling to me because they price Target up as if it's as if it is made well. No, mm-hmm. it's not. You don't need to price this at $12.99. I can get it on sale at Target for the same price.
Very true.
Or
very
less.
True. Very true. And I think another, I would say what has changed for good, but also could be bad too, is like you said, the clothing snob aspect of it, where I've become so in tune with cut.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
With prints,
fabric
content, all that stuff. Things I would have never have thought when I was shopping. Let me look at the fabric content of this top that
look
I got
at the construction of the $3.99.
Yeah, no.
Look at this.
And now I go in there all the time and I'm always looking at fabric content when I'm going to buy something for myself. I'll be like, well, why is this top at this discount store $24.99? It's 100% polyester. I don't want it.
Right. Are you linen? No. Okay. Goodbye. We don't want you. It's so true. And I think there's something to be said about label porn. I mean, it's a real thing. We have it as a reseller, but as a reseller, you want to build it in your own wardrobe without breaking the bank. And this is like, this is the struggle that happens, I think, with a lot of resellers. And I think it's very easy to cross that border of like shopaholic when you're a reseller, when it comes to inventory and when it comes to your own wardrobe, because you're finding so much of it in your size, right? So you're just going to keep collecting it. And then it gets to the point where you're like, hold on, I'm literally only wearing these 7 pieces right here. Why do I have these other 18 off to the side?
Yep, I agree. You know, and a lot of it will be like, well, it's because I got it for so cheap or I'll wear it eventually. You know, it's that whole 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
So,
I struggle with that.
It's tough. It is tough. But something good that has come out for me on reselling is I feel like I dress so much better now.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I look at what I was wearing maybe 10 years ago, I'm like, oh gosh, like that doesn't fit
what
right.
What were you doing?
What were you thinking? So it's like the color's not right. The cut's not right or something. And now it's like, because I've become so picky with construction, so picky with certain, like knowing what prints look good on me, what colors to avoid, all that kind of stuff. I feel like I dress so much better and so much more for my body because I've learned brands so well that I know that X brand will fit me better than, you know, this other brand over here because the construction fits my body type better.
Yeah. And I think we'll start talking about the brands and stuff that we resell. Don't worry, guys. But I also think it's important to note that as a reseller, you learn about different brands because you are tag hunting. That's basically what you're doing the whole time that you're out there in the thrift store. You're looking for different tags and you learn about these different brands and we come across a lot of really great sustainable brands or brands that no one in the general population would ever really know what they are because they retail for so much money and they're such a special, like a specialty type of a brand, which I think, again, great for resale, awful when it comes to your own personal use because you get used to certain things. The only category I will say that I don't struggle as much with this is shoes. I know what shoes fit me. I know what shoes don't fit me. It's pretty cut and dry for me. Like I don't really venture too far out from what I know when it comes to shoes. You know, they have to be obviously a certain width and whatnot, but like, I feel like I'm not as emotionally attached when it comes to shoes and even with brand. There are certain brands that I would stay away from just because of experience, but like, I'm okay with picking up Franco Sarto for myself. I like his shoes.
I love Franco Sarto.
I like Naturalizer.
They're really comfy. I love Naturalizer. You know what else I really like?
Dental Soul, another great one.
Dental Soul, Clarks.
Clarks, yeah,
I like exactly. Clarks too. And you know which are my favorite heels too?
What?
I love Nine West. I love Nine West shoes.
Nine West, I would never pick up to resell, right? Because it's not what it used to be. It's just, it's a discount.
And this is kind of what we're gonna dive into, you guys, is like talking about these types of brands, things that we find that have worked for us, that have been comfortable, things that we hunt for ourselves, but we're not necessarily going to resell these because they don't have a following.
I guess let's just get into it, right? We're talking about shoes.
Let's do shoes.
I love Rothy's. The chances of me finding Rothy's in a thrift store are pretty slim, right? But I own two pairs, but I paid retail. But like we were just saying, I'll buy I love Gentle Soles leather. I think it's the softest leather for a quote unquote discount shoe. Right. I'll pick it up all day long for myself. Naturalizer, love their sandals. Very comfortable. Clarks, love their boots.
Love their boots.
Love Clark boots. I also like Target shoes for an easy work sandal kind of thing. I pick it up because I know I'm going to get a season's use out of it and then move on.
I don't really pick them up just because, and I will say shoes, I've always been kind of snobby about shoes. Just because it was the one thing that my parents always taught me, you need a good pair of shoes.
You
know what I mean?
And sneakers, I pay up.
Yeah. So sneakers, I pay up. But like I said, Nine West, I love Nine West shoes. They're my favorite heels to wear. They're actually very comfortable. I have never had problems with them, you know, and I used to wear a lot of heels. I'm only 5'2". So, you know, I need the heels, but again, their resale value is nothing. Eileen Fisher. I love Eileen Fisher shoes, and Eileen Fisher shoes don't sell very well, to be honest with you.
They're
so nice. They're so comfortable. I absolutely love my Eileen Fisher shoes.
I don't like Free People shoes. I don't care what anyone says. They're not comfortable.
No, I've gotten rid of my Free People.
And they're not made well. Not made well, the brand.
They're not made well.
They're not. They're a very cheap shoe and they retail for so much money. Much money. And they'll resell for a good amount of money too, but they are just not a good shoe. There was a brand that I was just going to say, and the Nine West, going back to Nine West. Remember when we were younger, Nine West used to have a retail store in the malls.
Retail stores, yeah.
And it was extremely expensive.
They were very expensive.
Nine West is kind of like Halston, where it's downgraded throughout the years. And I think you can find Nine West in JCPenney and stuff. I know you can find it at Marshall's and TJ Maxx as well. But that's the kind of shoe that it's become, you know? And it's unfortunate, but just said, you find it to be one of the most comfortable for you.
I do. I really do. I have no problems with it. I also really like Cole Haan. Whenever I find Cole Haan shoes, I love Cole Haan. So I'm trying to think what other shoes that I really like that don't really retail for a lot. I mean, obviously, yes, you have Allbirds. Those have kind of gone down a little bit for reselling. I like them as comfortable shoes. I think
They're okay. In terms of sneaker, they're all right.
They're okay. See, but then I would argue with you with Rothy's because I've worn a few Rothy's and they've ripped apart my feet.
I only like the slip-on sneaker style.
Oh, okay.
I don't like the flat. I can't wear flats. That's the thing. I have a flat foot. So I can't wear flats. Gotcha. So don't when people ask, why don't, teaks? I could never wear teaks. God, no. My foot would be in agony. I don't
like ballet flats, to be honest.
I don't like that either.
Flat on my foot too. Yeah.
But that's why I like Gentle Soul or Naturalizer or Clarks, because they always have a little bit of a platform or a wedge or something. So if you have a flatter foot, and they also have the comfort cushioning in their shoes. So it's just, listen, if you go to the mall, if you go to Macy's and buy Naturalizer or any of these brands, you're going to pay $70, $80 for it.
They're expensive. Well, all these shoes that we're saying are expensive though, retail wise. So that's why we if we find them in the thrift store and they're in good condition, I'm going to pick them up, So heck yeah. I do like shoes. Shoes took me a while to get into though. I will say for myself.
To thrift for yourself.
Yeah.
Cause I jumped into it pretty quick. I don't know, maybe because I love shoes. So it was easy for me. I can see why people take a little bit with it though.
Yeah. It took me a little bit to warm up to it, but
a little dirty. I understand.
All right, let's go accessories. So bags, belts, sunglasses, scarves.
I'm a handbag snob. So
You are a handbag snob.
I'm a handbag snob.
You know what I always look for when I'm in the thrift stores?
What?
Like just 100% leather. If I see 100% leather and I see Italian leather, I'm usually going to pick that up for myself. I do like that because it doesn't need to be a brand or anything. I like leather handbags personally.
Me too. But I'm just a brand snob. I always have been. Always. That's like my one, that's my kryptonite is I need it. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because my grandma was really into bags. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I always grew up with her buying new leather handbags and her like teaching me about construction of handbags and what leather should feel like and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's why I became such a handbag snob. But she also used to spoil me and buy me Michael Kors or Coach Champ. Like this is, you're talking early 2000s. She would spoil me and get those for me. And I think that's why. I think I just have always really enjoyed the, I guess, mid-tier to luxury handbags. And now with thrifting or consignment or sourcing online, however it works, you know, I've really tried to acquire pieces that I'm going to hold on for a long time and use that knowledge that I have. So I own two Chloe bags, but I source them on Poshmark and they cost me $300 or less for each one. So
yeah,
I mean, I'm not paying Chloe price. If you want to buy a brand new Chloe bag, you're spending anywhere from $1,200 to $4,000. It depends on the piece. I have a Chloe wallet, I have a Chanel wallet, but like, these are things that I've gotten online, sourcing online. These are not things I found in the thrift store. The only thing I found at thrift store is a C by Chloe crossbody, which was my first like quote unquote luxury bag that I found when I was reselling. And I still have it. I actually finally listed it the other day because I wasn't grabbing it anymore. Mm-hmm. So, I had that listed, but yeah, but every piece that I own is leather. So I also really love Coach. I love Coach leather bags. I don't care if it's vintage or modern. I just love their handbags. So I own three newer model Coach handbags and I paid outlet prices for that. I didn't pay, I didn't thrift them and I didn't pay retail. I paid outlet prices. So it's a little less.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you, Coach. I think it's really great for leather goods. I really like that. Like I said, I do enjoy just like some good leather. Yes. Fossil bags. I love Fossil bags too. I'm trying to think, like, I just thought of one and now I'm going to blank on it.
Yeah. I don't like Tory Burch bags. Throwing it out there. I don't like their leather. It's awful.
I personally am just not a big fan of like the giant logo myself. It's just not really my thing. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to handbags, I'm definitely can be snooty about it, but I think that I just tend to gravitate towards like,
Calvin Klein has the best leather handbags.
Calvin Klein has really great handbags. Really great. I used to own a lot of Calvin Klein bags. I sold all of them. Not for a lot, but.
Yeah. My mom loves Calvin Klein handbags. That is her favorite because the leather is so soft. And DKNY. DKNY has the also softest leather. If you like leather handbags, if you're going to go to the mall though, you're going to pay a premium price for them. They retail for quite a bit.
But get them secondhand.
Don't pay retail on it.
All over. Yeah. No way. There's no way. But yeah, no, those are all great. Those are really great. All right. So let's see. What else do we have here?
Sunglasses. I've never found sunglasses at a thrift store that were worth picking up.
I'll do like, there's like Ray sunglasses. It's like R-A-E-N, Rayen or something. I'll find those like pretty cheap and they're usually like $100 plus and their construction is really good. But the resale value is not really there. I think I just recently got a pair for like $20, you know, so I'll do that kind of stuff.
I don't do scarves.
I don't pick up really any scarves either in the thrift stores. I mean, I think when it comes to like accessories, I gravitate towards like, not necessarily brands, but like vintage cool pieces, you know, like stuff that like is unique when I'm thinking about for myself, you know?
Yeah.
I do think I want to,
I do think that I want to start looking into scarves to wear on my head for the summer. I think it's a really cute trend and I always say I'm going to do it and then I never do. And it's like really big this summer. So I think I'm going to specifically go in and just look at scarves. But here's my thing with scarves. I get overwhelmed with them. There's just so many.
There are. There's a lot. There's a lot. I don't pick up so many. So I used to, in a previous life, was an accessories buyer. Mm-hmm. And I owned, honestly, like 50 scarves. Like, it was just
that's ridiculous.
It was insane how many scarves I had, because I had so many samples that I would get, you know, and I'd get really, really cool patterns, cool designs, because I was buying for museums. Mm. So it was like really beautiful stuff. And I just had so many. And I've literally been, it's been years and years of me purging. And so I don't have that many left. So I don't really want to go back down that path.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of a lot of scarves. But yeah, so I guess with accessories, you know, it's really just more about like, what's the construction of the piece, you know, really worn in great leather goods, you know, that's where you're going to find a lot of the stuff. But kind of like what Daniela said, you know, DKNY and like, what was the other one? Calvin Klein, all these like brands, they're really great. They're the great Sac brands.
That's another good one.
Oh, the Sac.
But they're also good to resell. Sac and Fossil are great to resell. So they're kind of like an in-betweener, depending on the price point. But the Sac and Fossil, I feel like, are very similar in their style.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with you. But great pieces. You know who else has really good leather too? Is that White Mountain.
Stone Mountain. Yeah. I always touch it like, oh, what are you? It feels really nice.
Really, really great. Yeah. They have really great leather. So yeah. See all these brands that we,
oh, that Margo, Morget, right? Is that how Margo? I don't know, but it's Marshall's thing. And it usually retails at Marshall's for maybe 40, 50 in that range. But also it's a vegan leather, but it feels really nice. And they have cute little styles. Okay. We're going to move on from handbags.
We're going to talk about handbags forever.
Yep.
So dresses. Oh, so dresses. I love language. Love thrifting dresses. Almost all of my dresses are thrifted. Actually, I would say probably all my dresses are thrifted. I love going through the dress section and looking at everything in there, because to me, dresses, most of the time, like, I'll wear a dress like 2-3 times and I'm good, and I can move on to the next one. And that is, you know, part of that rotating wardrobe that I just absolutely love that reselling has allowed me to have. So some of my favorite brands, and Daniela definitely chime in too, like we talked about, obviously Anthropology, any Anthropology dresses, I absolutely love to pick those up, whether it's an old style, new style, doesn't really matter. I generally like that. Other dresses, believe it or not, that I really like, I love Banana Republic dresses. I love Club Monaco dresses. And I love Ann Taylor dresses.
I was just going to say Ann Taylor everything.
Yes. Ann Taylor everything. Put Ann Taylor in there. I love picking up Ann Taylor for myself. I really do. They have beautiful prints. I love their prints.
They do, but can't resell it to save your life for a decent profit.
Absolutely not.
Not for the thrift store sell. Okay, listen, let me correct myself. If you're shopping at the bins or it's Dollar Day and you can find Ann Taylor, have at it. Can't, that doesn't exist. That just doesn't happen here. It's always priced at like $10 and up. Easy. Yeah. Easy.
Yeah, that is true. But if you're thinking for yourself and you want to get yourself a new dress, a $10 Ann Taylor dress is not a bad.
Oh, yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Right?
I pay $10 for Target dresses at Savers or anywhere else that I shop that's secondhand. Mm-hmm. I love a good Target dress. Something about them. They just know how to make dresses.
Yeah. Yeah. Target dresses are really great. Another dress that I really like more for like a dressy occasion. You know what I mean? If I'm going out to a party, New Year's Eve or whatever, BCBG. I love BCBG dresses.
You remember how big it was when we were younger and like the store and like going into the store and the price point on it. I mean, the price point is still pretty high on it if you buy it retail, but it was like, that's whatever. And BB, everyone had BB and BCBG. Don't get them confused, but everyone had them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I would say like for a time period of my life, all my going out dresses were all BCBG, all of them were. And I just recently, like probably like, I don't know, 5 years ago, started getting rid of them. I have still like 2 left that I'm like, I can't get rid of these, you know, cause they're like my staples, my go-to, like anytime, doesn't matter if I'm feeling, you know, like hot or not or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, I'll just throw them on and I feel good. So BCBG, I love the construction. They make you feel really good. Another really great dress too for career wear that I, when I used to go into the office, I love Calvin Klein dresses. Love them. Their cut is so nice, and they just like they fit you really well. Like they have like that thick scuba kind of material sometimes, you know. They're just really well constructed too. What about you, Daniela? What are some dresses that you like?
So I don't thrift a lot of dresses for myself besides like some Target ones and whatnot. And a lot of times I just kind of go buy off of style, not necessarily brand when I'm looking at dresses.
Yeah,
I'm definitely someone that's very particular in the way the dress has to fall on me because of just my body shape. So I've always been broad, like broad shoulders, but I have a small waist, short torso. I have long legs, but I'm curvy. So like my body's awkward when it comes to certain, like I can't wear a sheath dress. I can't do a shift dress. Like that just doesn't look right on me. I can't do empire waist because I look pregnant. Like that's just the way that it is. So I've learned what style to get, I guess. So that's typically what I'm
like what cut works for you. Yep. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's really fair. I do the same thing too. I'll look at like the cut. And I'll get a lot of really random boutique brands that
necessarily mean anything.
Don't mean anything, but like, oh, this kind of looks like a Reformation dress, or this kind of looks like a spell dress, and the cut works. And I'll definitely do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say that like, so today, for example, I picked up a Target dress, but it's very similar to a Madewell dress that I was looking at on their website. Again, they mimic a lot of the same styles, right? And it was only $10 and it's new with the tag. So like, that's a no-brainer. I'll wear it probably this season and I'll probably send it to ThredUp next season. Like I'm probably not going to keep it. I don't get emotionally attached to stuff like that. But then, like I said previously, I paid $168 for an Anthropology dress that I'm going to keep for probably 10 plus years because it's just a classic style. Mm-hmm. I definitely have, and we can talk about this later on in episode two, is when it comes to like building your wardrobe and incorporating some of these pieces that you're going to pay a little bit more money for because you know that you're going to keep it for a long period of time, and how to kind of maneuver that aspect of it. But yeah, I definitely go more so on style than brand, but I did agree with the ones that you mentioned. Calvin Klein, again, DKNY, like the tried and true mall brands, I think are safe to say if you can find it at a good price at the thrift store, get it.
Yeah.
Please don't buy fast fashion dresses. Just don't do it.
Don't buy fast fashion.
Like dresses. Don't buy Fashion Nova. Don't buy them.
Well, I will say I do buy some H&M dresses.
Okay, H&M I feel like is in a different bracket because the at least the quality is not just straight up pure polyester.
I guess what you're trying to think is like Fashion Nova,
Shein. I don't know what it is.
But when I feel it, I'm like, no, this feels like tissue. I don't want to wear this on my, literally like tissue paper.
You're on a budget, right? Let's talk about someone who doesn't have a full-time job like us. You're on a budget and you want to build a closet with really great pieces, but you can't spend even the $15, $16 that some of these dresses might be priced at. Obviously go in their sales, right? Or coupons or whatever it is that you have. Yeah. But just by feeling a piece, you'll be able to tell if it's worth you spending that $8, $9, $10 on. And I'll tell you right now, if you're going to pick up a Fashion Nova dress, and yes, I know that, you know, thrifting and everything, it's all cyclical and you're still reusing and all of that, but like that dress is going to rip really quickly on you and you just spent $10 on it and you're going to have to spend another 10 in like a month or two. So like, I think keeping that in mind too, you don't necessarily have to be brand focused, but be quality focused.
Yeah. I think that's fair to say.
That's my spiel because I hate touching that stuff when I'm on the racks. I'm like, this is literal garbage.
Yeah.
It will tear in 2 seconds.
And like,
it's sweaty. It's hot. Like,
that's the thing too. It's just a lot of that fabric. It doesn't breathe.
No.
And when you're actually wearing breathable fabric, it's a big, big difference. Yeah. So,
sorry if that comes off as snobby. That's not what I'm trying to be. It's just,
no, I don't think that it's coming off as snobby at all, but this is like we talked about earlier, right? We said that this is what reselling has done to us too. Mm-hmm. We've become clothing snobs.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
And I know that there are other people out there that feel the same way, because you do, you get so focused in your business when it comes to construction and the details, right? And you know what is going to bring you more money. And it's like, you start feeling these fabrics for yourself. You might try them on when you get home and you're like, wow, this is an amazing. You find a piece that's your size, you put it on. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't own anything like this. This is amazing. Yep. So it's just about like talking about that, you know, because like I said, that is something that's really changed for me too, because I used to wear all that kind of stuff all the time. And then
I don't know how I did it.
Breathable fabrics. I was like, oh my God, like I'm not sweating under my armpits so much. Let's be honest. You know, my boobs are not sweating. I'm not getting all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I feel like I can move around a lot more. I feel more comfortable.
And the fabric doesn't smell.
Oh, the worst.
Because the polyester stinks.
It stinks. It grabs on to your stink and holds on to it.
Don't do it.
I mean, please. Yes, we're ladies, but still.
But listen, we all sweat, all right?
We all sweat.
Anyway. All
right, my friends, let's move on to outerwear. I love thrifting outerwear.
I think it's like one of those things where like you can really acquire really neat vintage outerwear pieces. So the brand doesn't necessarily matter when it comes to outerwear. Really nice wool coats or like fur, like with the fur trims and stuff, like just really unique things that probably cost hundreds of dollars.
Oh yeah.
1960, 1970, you know? And now it's like, all right, it's $19.99 at the thrift store, but it's a coat and it's in great condition and it's great quality. The brand doesn't really matter.
But like, hey, if you're looking at a coat, a wool coat for $20, that's a good deal, period. Right. Because coats, outerwear is definitely somewhere where you definitely want to be construction snob and fabric snob. Because I do remember some of my first coats that I got, you know, were cheap polyester coats and you could feel them right away and they don't keep you warm. They just don't. And it was a waste of money. So some like outerwear pieces that I would say, maybe not on the fancier side, but I could say for like everyday outerwear stuff, like I love L.L. Bean. I really do. L.L. Bean makes really great stuff. So like windbreakers, you know, just like outerwear pieces, like hiking pants, all that kind of stuff. Great brand. Doesn't have a huge resale value, which I don't know why, unless it's the Bean boot. I know the Bean boot does really well. But I do recommend it. Eddie Bauer is another good one too.
If you can say find Eddie Bauer,
right? That's a great one. Marmot is another really good outdoor
I'm
brand.
So surprised that Marmot just doesn't retain its value in the resale world. It doesn't make sense.
I don't understand it. I don't. I mean, Marmot is absolutely great as another like outdoorsy brand, you know, that you can do. And I'm trying to think of what else, but when it comes to like coats, right? Like if you want to talk about fancy coats,
J. Crew coats, hands down, my favorite. I will pay up. I don't care.
I don't care either. I'll pay up for a J. Crew coat. 100%. I've done some Zara coats too, and they've been fine.
Great construction.
Great construction. And they tend to like hold up for quite a few. I think two of my main coats are from Zara. Also there's not cheap Bernardo. Either. What did you say?
I said not cheap either.
No, not cheap. But there are Bernardo coats.
Oh, those are Bernardo's good.
Andrew Mark. Also, those don't resell for a lot, but those are pretty good construction coats as well. And believe it or not, Guess has really great coats.
I feel like Guess is making a comeback.
I think they are. They're very like Y2K.
Yeah, I definitely think they're making a comeback. There was oh my God, the brand just escaped me. It's called like Mark Anthony something. But they make very similar coats to like Bernardo, like the quilted coat and all of that. It's like Mark Andrew, maybe? I don't know, but it's like
I said that. It's like Andrew Mark. Andrew Mark, Aunt Mark.
Isn't it Mark Andrew?
You guys have seen it. You've seen it.
I don't know. But either
way.
You're
all nodding. You're like, yes, I've seen that. I've seen that. Those coats are good.
They look like Calvin Klein kind of too. Like I feel like they all kind of mimic each other. Yeah. Calvin Klein, another with the Calvin Klein guys. It's good.
Calvin Klein's great overall. It's a great brand to pick up for yourself.
Right. If you can find Madewell for yourself, awesome. Have at it. That's fantastic. If you can find all those other brands that we thrift to resell, that's great. I don't generally come across, I mean, I've come across Max Mara and all of that, but it's not a daily occurrence that you come across that.
No, you know, you're right about the Calvin Klein coats. I didn't even think about that. I actually just got rid of one of my Calvin Klein puffers when I moved back to San Diego, and it was one that I had for years, and I had to finally get rid of it because it had like an oil stain.
Yeah, but it was
like one of those like ones that you could compact down into a small little tiny bag. But their quilted jackets are really great. Also, believe it or not, Wilson Leather.
Oh, Wilson Leather, man. Those stores were like the it place in the early 2000s.
But their stuff is good. Their stuff is good, actually. Like, it does hold up, and it's a decent jacket, and you can probably find it for a decent price, even at the thrift store, too.
I know everyone buys the Michael Kors jackets, coats, whatnot, because they're everywhere in the discount stores and malls. I've owned lots of them. They never last long. They just never
I've never bought them. I've never been a fan of Michael Kors, to be honest with you. So I don't think I've ever owned anything from him.
I still have one that my grandmother bought me that, like, for sentimental reasons, I can't get rid of, even though I can zip it up and that's about as far as it goes. Just can't move in it because it's from like 10, 15 years ago. But I bought a Sam Edelman coat off of Steven, C Fashion Guru, 2 years ago. It's my favorite winter coat. And it's not like a super high retail.
That's a good one too, though. Like, I actually like Sam Edelman's, well, their shoes. I like their shoes, but I also do like their clothing is actually really nice.
Yeah. And the coat has been great. It's like, there's no pills coming out, like the little feathers, there's no rips, no stain. I mean, like, and it washed really nicely. I was really impressed because I wouldn't think to pick up Sam Edelman coat for myself because you're just so used to seeing the same things over and over and over again. Right. And it just, I was like, oh, Sam Edelman. Okay. We'll try it. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great one. I think that that is really good, you know, and like we said, you can see there's so many great brands out there that you can thrift for yourself that, again, people don't think, right, for resale value. But if you're looking for a coat for yourself, like, these are all really, really great brands. And like we said, in outerwear, what we talked about, like, yes, we know Patagonia, blah, blah, blah. We get it. But like, there's so many other better, like, great outdoor brands, you know?
And Blank NYC. I'm sorry. They have cute things.
Blank NYC has the cutest jackets.
Yes.
I love their jackets. They're super cute. And then, another one that I was going to say for outdoor stuff is just REI.
I was going to mention REI.
The in-house brand that they sell their own stuff. It's really well constructed, and it's like, and it will hold up and it does last. And I think those are all the ones that I can think of for
Columbia, but Columbia can resale really well too. It just depends on the piece.
I do like to find Columbia though for myself too. I do. I have like, and I get, I'll get Columbia jackets even for like Ellie, cause they make a lot of little kid stuff too. Yeah. And you can get it for pretty good prices too. That's another good one to know. That was a good one.
Columbia. I mean, we're in New England, so we see all, well, I'm in New England now, but Jen was in New England, and these are all brands that you see all the time.
All the time. Absolutely. Oh, jeans. I love jeans.
Me too. But I'm a jean snob. I'm a jean snob.
Oh no, I'm 100% a jean snob because I'm all about the butt. What does my butt look like? I need those pockets to be sitting in a specific angle of my cheek so that my butt looks good.
Right? I mean, it's just the way it is.
It's a real thing, people. Look it up. Look up on YouTube. There are videos about like what the pockets are supposed to do for your butt. Because if that pocket is actually lower than your butt cheek, do not buy them.
It drags your butt down.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the concept of the leggings that they, like the scrunchy leggings that came out. That's why they came out with them, is so that it created that lifted look in the way that they scrunch. Anyway, digressing. I think that when it comes to jeans, I really can't buy anything other than Good American and Madewell. They're like my tried and true, and they just fit my body correctly. Although Madewell can be tricky sometimes. I feel like even though they make extended sizing, they still haven't 100% like understood how to create the curve, where Good American has just nailed it, 100% nailed it. And oddly enough, if you are someone out there who's listening, who's around my size, so like you're plus size, but you're not really plus size. You're kind of like in that in-between teetering where you're like 14 to like 18, depending on the brand. Frame actually makes really good stretch denim in a size. They go up to size 34, I think is the highest they go up to. And it actually fits really nicely. The only thing I have to say about Frame is that if it's too stretched out, it'll just fall because it's like any other jean that has spandex in it, right? It just, yeah, after a while, it just doesn't last that long. But my closet is Madewell, Good American, and a couple of frame pieces. I can fit in like the Target jeans. So sometimes look at that. American Eagle, if mm-hmm. you can find it at a good price, I think is a great jean to look into as well. Not a fan of like Paige, Hudson, not a fan of that. I know Levi's is going to be Jen's thing. Levi's.
Yes. I absolutely love Levi's. I can find them for pretty cheap. Obviously you have to be careful, right? Because the more spandex in it there is in there, like the more, yeah, pulled the fabric is going to be. But really for me, I'm trying to look at some of our notes that we had about the Levi's episode. I don't know where I put it, but there is, I want to say it's the 720s.
721, 711.
Yeah. 711, 721.
There's another one. Those are my
favorite jeans. I love those so much. They make my butt look good. They have just enough stretch in them. I'm not like feeling like I'm in like, I don't like it when my jeans are super, super tight, like, yeah, as if they're neither. Leggings. I don't like that look. So I do love those, and that's more of their shapewear. And I don't like leggings for jeans thing. It's just not my thing. If I'm going to wear leggings, I'm going to wear leggings. I'm not going to wear jeans that look like leggings. So yeah. So those ones, the 721s, are like my favorite. I absolutely love those. I love the Mile High Skinny too. Those are really, really great too. Those ones, yes, they can resell for a little bit more, but you can find a lot of these Levi's. So super, super cheap. Like those, yeah, absolutely no problem. See,
I would say like the 711s and the 721s don't necessarily resell unless you're getting it for like,
they really don't.
$10 resell. And under, they really don't resell for a lot. Not and nothing like a rib cage or anything like that.
No. And again, that's why like we really want to try to focus as much as we can on like these jeans that you can get them for a good deal, you know? But basically, yeah, like I said, those styles are always kind of my favorite. I would agree with you on frame. I think frame is great. I love frame jeans. Yep. I think that they do really well. Another jeans that I absolutely love are the Citizens, the Rocket.
Oh yeah.
High rise skinny. Yep.
Isn't there another one too? The Roxanne. Isn't the Roxanne another one? That's
the Roxanne is another one, yeah. But there's like the Farrah.
The Farrah. Yep.
That's they don't sell as like people actually resell them. They try to sell them for a lot, but they never go for a lot. I usually can get them for use anywhere between 25 and 35, which I think is a good deal.
I was going to say the same about frame. It doesn't have a resale value anymore. Yeah. Unless it's new at Tag, you might be able to get a higher amount, but frame really doesn't resell for what it once did. Mm-hmm. So I know people might be listening and saying, I thought frame was a really great brand. It is for yourself, in terms of resale, it's not going to give you what you think it's going to give you.
No, absolutely not. Another
thrift store doesn't think so though.
The thrift stores. Yeah. It depends on the thrift store. Right. When it came to like maternity, I'll say my favorite maternity jeans are AG, the Adrianna Goldschmied. Those used to resell for pretty well. They don't really resell that much anymore. Unfortunately.
Madewell maternity still does well, right?
Madewell maternity. Yeah. That one does really well. If you can find some Madewell maternity, I would definitely grab those. I do, although these resell really well though. I do like the Everlane, the cheeky.
Yeah.
The cheeky.
I mean, Everlane, you know, and everything Everlane, period.
Yes. But again, it's a cheeky crop. Again, I'm 5'2". I'm small, you know? So for me, actually cropped jeans are actually like, they actually fit me like normal jeans, because that's what they're supposed to look like, I guess. And like, so whenever I would get ankle crop, that's what I would get. Joe's jeans, believe it or not, I love Joe's jeans. I used to, their construction is really great. I used to wear them. I used to actually buy them retail too, because I just really enjoyed wearing them. And like they fit really great too. I'm trying to look at like
Abercrombie.
Abercrombie jeans.
New Abercrombie, not old Abercrombie.
Not
new,
old.
Yeah. New Abercrombie, really good. I already said American Eagle, PacSun. If you can fit into those brands, those three are your tried and true mall brand, but man, they've gotten so good over the years. And Gap. I can't forget my Gap. Listen, Gap jeans.
I love Gap. I love the Gap. Yeah. What is it? Gap. They have like straight leg jeans. They have a cheeky jeans.
That's good.
They're great. Those are really great. If you can, like, when you go to, you'll see them all the time in the thrift stores. Also, I actually really like J. Crew jeans too. The high rise. What is it called? The toothpick. The toothpick. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do like.
They don't resell anymore, but they definitely are at the thrift store.
Oh, they don't resell at all.
No, not even
those
close.
Those are fun. I do like those. And then I'm trying to think of like what other jeans that I think that's it. I mean, we've named a lot of jeans.
I mean, there's some really great expensive jeans that if you come across, by all means, pick them up for yourself. But we're not going to talk about those.
Well, we're not going to talk about those. We want to talk about the jeans that generally, like when I'm looking, like if I need a new pair of like, you know, straight leg jeans or whatever, this is what I'm looking for. Right.
Yeah.
And so like we talked about like the mall brands, you know, like I agree with you, American Eagle. I love selling myself some American Eagle too. But really, I think that's it. That's all that we have. I think we named off a lot of jeans though.
Yeah. For my plus size friends that are listening, you'll always find a lot of Tora jeans in the plus size section, but you just have to be careful because they get really stretched out. It's definitely a jean that you want to, even if you have to buy it, try it on and exchange it kind of thing, just because there's a lot of spandex in those. But you can find some really good plus size LL Bean. They can find some good LL Bean straight leg cotton jeans. You can definitely find Gap. You can find Lane Bryant. You can definitely find Madewell and Good American. Listen, it's happened. I found it before. I found it in varying sizes from size 14 to 26. I found it before. So
that's awesome.
It doesn't happen often, but it can happen. Or just look for it online. If your thrift stores don't have a good plus size section, go on Poshmark, eBay, Mercari, wherever. You're going to find it on there.
You know, I buy a lot of my jeans just because I know what cut I like.
Right.
And then I buy a lot of them, but you do need to online, but you do need to be like Danielle said, you need to be careful because when it comes to stretch denim, it's like, sometimes it could be too stretched out. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you wear them once or twice and they're starting to fall off your hip. And that can be really frustrating.
It can be. You can try to shrink it all you want, but it's spandex and elastic doesn't come back when you try to shrink it.
Very true.
We didn't have athletic wear on here, but I want to talk about athletic wear because I think that we are conditioned as resellers to pick up Girlfriend Collective and Aloe and Lululemon and blah, 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 blah. Right.
Right.
Which are all wonderful brands. If you can find it at the thrift store, I found Lululemon's today, like in my size. Great. Paid $14 for it. So happy. Didn't have to spend $100+ on it.
Right.
But I think we've talked about it before. I think that Gap Fit is my amazing.
I love Gap Fit.
Yep.
I absolutely do.
Athleta. Amazing. Same company. Amazing. I also think, listen, All in Motion is great too. The Target brand, their quality is really, really good. There's nothing wrong with it. I also think that, oh my God, the name just left my brain. I hate when this happens, when you're thinking of a brand and you can see it in your, like, I literally can see it and I can't think of the name.
Yeah.
It'll come back to me.
Okay. You're fine. But yeah, like Daniela said, there's so many really great athletic brands that are out there. Like, it's just about the feel, right? Of the fabric. And like, I've actually, it was funny. I grabbed these, you've heard PE Nation.
Yes. Never found it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah. So I did find those in Austin and I was going to grab them, but luckily they were my size and I actually tried them on because I was curious and I had to do the bend over test, you know,
the dreaded bend over test with leggings.
And I was like, oh no, you could see.
No, thank you.
I was like, no, thank you. But, oh my gosh, there's so many amazing other brands out there. Like Calvin Klein Performance is another.
I own two and I love them.
Yeah, like those are really great. Another one is Yogalicious, believe it or not.
Oh my God, yeah. Yogalicious 90 Reflex. Is that the name?
90 Reflex. Those are all really great. And you know, another one, you find it a lot more in Massachusetts. I will say Reebok.
Oh, yeah.
I love Reebok workout wear and I love New Balance workout wear.
Oh my God, New Balance leggings, so soft.
So soft, so great. Oh my gosh, they're really nice. Now, when it comes to comfort, I love American Eagle. American Eagle, like their Aerie line.
Oh my God, I bought a pair. True story. I was like, do I buy a pair of Aerie leggings? Like, am I too old to wear Aerie leggings? Oh my God, I never want to take them off.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They're so good.
They're very comfortable. Very, very comfortable.
And they're very flattering. I was surprised at how flattering they were. And they fit. Like, I fit in an extra large. No problem. Could probably size down to a large. So, and they're very soft. You know what they remind me of? Girlfriend Collective. I feel like they took aspects of Girlfriend Collective and created their own little soft, buttery.
I could see that.
Legging.
Mm. I can see that. Yep. When it comes to like workout bras, if you wanted to get some good workout bras, I would say Moving
Victoria's-
Comfort.
Oh, I'll say Victoria's Secret.
I would say
Secret.
Moving Comfort, but Victoria's Secret too. You know, because for, you know, us girls who have some boobs,
yeah.
You know, that's always really important to have something that's actually going to like hold them down, but not like pinch them. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, you know, mm-hmm. So like both those brands are actually really great brands when it comes to like, you know, your workout bras.
NYX. Can't really find the thrift store. It's not really popular yet, but NYX, it's K-N-I-X.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, excellent, excellent bras.
Yeah.
They have sports bras and leggings.
So they're good. Expensive and they are expensive. They mm-hmm. definitely are. So yeah, you can find those. I mean, there, you can see there's so many great brands out there. Wow. That
we keep going.
We really could keep going. Honestly,
talk about housewares. Like, let me tell you, houseware. I'll pick up anything if it's made in Italy, made in Portugal, looks nice.
I grab anything from like William Sonoma.
Oh, William and Sonoma, Crate and Barrel,
mm-hmm. Sur La Table.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All that stuff. West Elm.
I have yet to find West Elm. Yeah. I haven't found that yet.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, there's so many great pieces. And like, we obviously, yes, there's tops, but tops, like Danielle and I kind of talk
about, I
don't
want to talk about tops.
Tops, honestly, like, yeah, I rotate my tops like crazy. I don't care what the top is. It depends on my mood. And then sweaters is kind of the same thing too. Like, you know, it's kind of like we go to the same tried and true, like those like top tier mall brands, mm-hmm. which are not really top tier reselling brands,
right,
which is
right.
funny. But like, I love, like, let's say, for example, I love a good Gap sweater, you know, yes. they're like $70 new. And so I'll get mine for $7.99 instead at the thrift store.
I like a Calvin Klein sweater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I like a vintage sweater that has no name.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, tops are just kind of like, I don't think there's any point of us really talking about that, but I mean, really, honestly, you guys, these are kind of all the brands and things that we love to see, you know? So it's like going for those tried and true, those pieces that, you know, that those companies that have really good reputations for building really great stuff, yet somehow they just don't have a resale following. So and it's like
crazy how that happens.
Like,
who dictates that? I mean, obviously us as resellers, but like, is it the people who are buying it though that really dictate it? I feel like that's really what it comes down to. It's the buyers, because
yeah.
they might be able to find it themselves, obviously, in the thrift store or at these, you know, discounted stores, and it's just more accessible to them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I want to know who dictates the market for this.
Yeah, it would be interesting, but I don't know. And then the last thing that I can tell you guys too, from a kid clothing perspective, you know, if you're looking for like good quality kid clothing, believe it or not, H&M, their clothing is really cute. It does, and it's and it holds up pretty well. My absolute favorite would be I love Zara kids clothing. You know, you can actually find a lot of it pretty cheap in like bundles. And then Gap kids clothing.
I was gonna say, Gap kids up. Is what I bought Ellie all the time.
All the time. I never, like Danielle was out, I was like, just look for Gap. You know, Gap does really, really well, and it holds up very well. You can also Cat and Jack from Target. That specific brand does actually pretty well too. When it comes to like holding up, you know, in the construction yeah. for kids, and it's trendy, and their stuff is really cute. Hannah Anderson, obviously, but that does have a higher resale value. But really, I dress Ellie in mostly like H&M, you know, and used H&M, Zara, Gap is usually what I dress her in.
Mall brands. And at the end of the day, it's mall brands.
It's mall brands. Yeah.
I want to talk about one thing before we close out the episode, and it's this now world that we live in as resellers, right? And Jen and I are in a different space, I think, in our lives now than like 10 years ago. And I think we're in a different place when it comes to building our wardrobe as well. So I think it's important to talk about this too, because, you know, we talk about different brands, stuff that you can find that are really affordable, that aren't necessarily things that you would resell, but you can put it in your closet, which we absolutely do. But I think we also, I know I can speak for myself, and I know Jen's in a similar boat, where we're trying to build like a capsule wardrobe. And if you don't know what that means, it's like having these very specific pieces, kind of very minimalistic, like not a ton of pieces, but some really great items, great brands, great fabric content, great everything. Like it's just, and maybe they retail for more, but they're pieces that you're going to keep for 10 plus years kind of thing. And that's kind of the mode that Jen and I are in. So yes, we do pick up a lot of things that we talked about and rotate them out and all that, because I think it's healthy to have that as a shopper.
I think you need to have a variation because it gets boring, you know, but that's also what reselling has been able to give us too, is like, I don't feel that guilt of getting rid of something, because either A, I can sell it, you know, or B, I'll just redonate it. And I don't feel so bad because I didn't spend so much in the beginning. So yeah, no, I think you bring up a really interesting point. You know, it's just about building up that collection, and, you know, but also figuring out what are your evergreen pieces going to be? What are the pieces that we're actually spending a lot of money on? And I think you bring up a really good point. You know, there definitely are some things that I'm willing to spend more money on so that I can keep and I can rotate out, or I know I'm going to wear a lot, you know? And so it needs to hold up wash after wash after wash kind of thing.
Yeah. And if you have the means to pay retail for some of the, I think always look for secondhand or always look for a discount, right? But if you have to pay retail because you really can't find it anywhere, I think it's understanding when it's okay to do that and what kind of pieces are you willing to spend that money on if you have the means to do it. You don't have to do, like, capsule wardrobes are definitely something that influencers kind of made popular, right? Like being sustainable and minimalistic, but spending money on these brands, like it's definitely a big blogger thing that started happening over the last few years. But I do think it's something important, especially if you're in the business space. So I am, I go to an office every day, and I think it's important to have those tried and true pieces that are classic that you can kind of wear for the next 20 years if you want to, if it's made out of really great cotton, really great hemp, linen, whatever it is, it's going to last forever. You can wash it 100 times. And as long as you're gentle with it and you're not putting it in the dryer, it's going to last, you know, you just got to maintain it.
Yeah. And I think that like we've kind of alluded to that a little bit, like where we talk about like, yes, we try to do a capsule wardrobe. Yes, we try to be minimalistic. And it is more because I don't like a lot of stuff in my life.
I don't
like stuff in my house. I don't want to use all my closet space. That's just who I am. I find for myself that I feel so much better when I know everything has its own place and I have space to put things in, and I'm not shoving things into drawers or into closets, you know,
which can happen with tops get shoved.
Exactly. And that's exactly why, like we talked about, like tops and sweaters are two things that I rotate out like crazy in my life, because I'm just like, I don't care. Cause what's the thing that you get photographed in the most, or that people remember the most? It's your tops. So it's like tops, I'm okay with constantly rotating them out. I don't care the brand really. I don't really like me, like, unless it's like a white button up top, like I, you know, something that's like a classic piece that I need something good, you know, other than that, all my prints, I usually, you know, maybe rotate them out 2-3 times a year.
Yeah, me too.
I'll do that. But then, you know, with like jeans, for example, those are things where I'm going to be willing to pay up a little bit more for, because jeans, I will wear jeans and keep them for at least, I would say like 3 to 5 years is usually what a good jean will last you, you know, and then it kind of starts, you're like, I think it's time to rotate this out.
Same with coats. I don't rotate my coats very often.
I don't either. They stay for a long time. I think really with coats, like, but depending on where you live, of course, though, right? But I generally try to only keep probably 3 coats. I do like a more everyday sporty coat, a classic black coat. And then I have a tan coat that I like. And then, you know, so like so that you can switch up the black and the tan every once in a while.
Sometimes and need a rain jacket. Rain jacket. You got to have some kind of rain or trench or something.
Yeah.
Gotta have that.
True. You do have to.
But you have to have a lightweight one for spring, because in New England, the temperature is obviously different. And they need one for fall that's a little heavier, because It's fall and it's cold and it's raining.
And honestly, if you live in warmer weather, you really only need two coats. You need one coat in the morning when it's somewhat cold, you know, and it can, I would say, a more casual coat, you know, and then something like a windbreaker, you know, not like, cause it barely rains out here, but
this is true.
I mean, these are kind of, the things that we like, we talk about, you know, like outerwear is generally an evergreen piece. You want to pay up a little bit more. Jeans, you want to pay up a little bit more. Dresses, I think, can be either or.
Yeah.
You can have your everyday dresses that I think that you should pay less for and, you know, just have fun and rotate those out. But then you might want to have your classic little black dress, right? That is like a really good piece that fits really well and that you're going to want to keep for a couple of years or something.
We could keep talking about clothes for like hours. I don't know if you guys can tell.
How long is this episode?
I don't know. Really, it's got to be close to an hour, maybe more. I don't even know anymore. I don't know. No, it's got to be more than an hour. Didn't we start at like,
I think it's 4:30? I hope you guys are still here and that we didn't exhaust you because we were really excited about this. And I think we talked over each other a lot.
Sorry. But listen, we really like clothes and I can't help it. But I also think it's important to like understand other resellers' perspective and hearing what we like to buy for ourselves. I don't necessarily focus on brand. I think that's the most important thing that I could say in this episode is brand doesn't really matter. It's more about the content and construction. And that's really it. You buy whatever you want for yourself. It doesn't matter. And if you want to pay up for something, pay up for something. No one's gonna, you know, say anything to you. I just think as a reseller, it's very hard to get out of your own head when it comes to paying up and understanding that it's okay sometimes if you have the means to pay up for some things and make yourself happy. Because that's what shopping is kind of all about. It unfortunately increases the serotonin and makes you feel real good.
Well, I would agree. I agree. But definitely thrifting can take you a long way and it can give you that rotating wardrobe or whatever it is that you're looking for. It definitely can give you that because I will say something that I've been so happy about when it comes to reselling and secondhand shopping is that I can now afford all these pieces that I always wanted. I always wanted to see Madewell in my closet and Anthropology in my closet. And I never could do that before without thrifting. And it's like, yes, I know there's a little bit of, like you said, that like label thing where it's like, I like to see those labels in my closet, but you know, but then there is a point eventually in reselling where you just kind of get over that too. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I just want to get a really well-constructed piece. I don't really care what the brand is. And that's what's really nice about it is that with thrifting, you can do that. You can have your cake and eat it too, right?
Yeah. One more before we go. I didn't even think of it until just now. Nordstrom House Brands, any of them, great for yourself.
That's such a good one.
I just thought of it. I'm like, well, wait, we didn't mention any of the Nordstrom House Brands. I don't care which one it is, BP, Nordstrom, I don't care. Any of them, any of the house brands, they're great.
Any of the house brands, their workout line, Zella.
Mm-hmm.
Great brand, great workout brand. I love their stuff. And so, yeah, there's so many great things out there. So just, happy shopping, I guess, everybody.
Yeah, have fun and let us know if you like what some of your favorite brands are that you thrift for yourself. Maybe we didn't even mention t-shirts. It's probably because Jen and I don't really wear t-shirts, but I'm sure there's really great t-shirt brands out there or just t-shirts in general that you should be looking out for your own closet that don't necessarily resell. I know nothing about t-shirts, so...
I don't either. If I like the logo, I usually will get it. Yeah. Or I just buy Everlane because they have really good basics.
Yeah, they have nice t-shirts, nice boxy t-shirts. Yeah. Anyway, we could keep going clearly, and this episode's never going to end. So we will be back next week, friends, with a fun interview with a lovely guest. So stay tuned for that. Until next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.